this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back.
Welcome back, folks. I'm your host, Maggie Rose, and you're listening to another edition of the Concord Hour here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk with real people. Today's date is October the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2023. And we have a very special guest that is coming on with us today. Somebody that has listened to me before on other networks and followed me over to RBN. And she's got many of her friends, including another gentleman I also knew, who is one of my old fans, who also followed me over here to RBN, and they are both down under, folks. Yes, that's right. They are in the beautiful country of Australia, a country I have yet to visit. One of the first times I ever had any understanding of the country, the back country, as we call it, of Australia, is when I saw The Man from Snowy River. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, The Man from Snowy River. I don't know if it's based on a true story or not, but I really love the story and I love the sequel that came after it. The music is what really got me. And listening to the music in that movie and watching the horses run across the countryside, it was just very heart-stirring for me. And then later on, I decided, well, I wanted to find out a little bit more about Australia. So I started studying about the Aborigine people, and I realized that at one point in time, there's been sort of like a genocide almost of the Aborigine people that was taking place in Australia. And some of the things that the so-called Christian missionaries were doing to the original natives of Australia were the same things that we've been doing here in the United States, even up through the 1960s, 70s, and early 1980s. The same sort of thing, atrocities going on up in Canada. And as many of you know, what has been happening in Australia the past few years, especially with the tyranny regarding the COVID closing down of people's rights and freedoms. We saw a lot of that going on up in Canada as well. You've heard me bring on the show here Pastor Arthur Palowski, who has been basically dragged through the mud by Justin Trudeau and that tyranny type of government that's up in Canada, and how they didn't even want him to be ministering to people in the street, that during the dead of winter when snow was 5 and 6 feet high, he was out there trying to feed the people, the homeless and the down and out in the streets of Canada there where he was living. And the government didn't want him doing that because they weren't doing enough for their people. Their social programs weren't doing enough for their people. And the area that he lives in is basically the government is controlled by people of his Islamic background. And he was doing all this good for the people of that community that this so-called government were not doing themselves. And so they were out to try to destroy him, throwing him and his brother in jail and prison, giving them the worst living conditions they could possibly live in. They went after him for supporting the truckers who were up there protesting in Canada because of the COVID mandates, the illegal invasiveness of what they were trying to do regarding the jabs. We were watching in Australia while they were rounding children up and having children brought to these processing centers where the parents and grandparents and the guardians were forced to stay outside while their children were ushered into these buildings to have these forced jabs put in their arm of a medication, an inoculation that hadn't even gone through the normal 5 to 7 to 10 to even 15 year testing period of both successful animal trials as well as needed human trials that would be successful before putting these medications out into the populace. And as you all know, many people have died, and the news media has been complacent in this. People even on TV, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News even, many of their ads are ads for medications that they're trying to get people to take, psychotropic drugs, all kinds of different medications. And of course, the big pharmaceuticals are paying millions of dollars for these ads to be broadcast on our American news channels of ABC News, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and even Fox News. So the big pharmaceutical companies have been trying to do everything, working with Facebook, working with Twitter and others, trying to suppress the fact that people have been dying from these jabs. Some people have died after having only one jab. Some have died within hours after having the second or the third jab. And now they want to come out with another one of their variants that we know was created by humans. I read an article not long ago where a doctor said all viruses originally were man-made. And they even believe that what happened in the Spanish influenza of 1918-1919 that killed my great-grandmother and her newborn baby, that killed my great-grandfather's two brothers, that killed other family members of mine going all the way back, who died between 1918 and 1920 in the United States, in Washington, in Seattle, in Tacoma, in San Francisco, in Chico, California, was all due to this Spanish flu that now is believed was deliberately man-made, created by the New World Order, by the deep state. I was reading some articles the other day before we bring our guest on regarding what is going on around the world. And an article came out that hit me just, I mean, it bounced off the page at me. There's a contender in Canada that wants to replace Trudeau. And she is facing her first real test. She believes the Israeli-Hamas war could shape the political future of many people. And this is the belief system of the foreign minister, Melanie Joly, J-O-L-Y. She's among a small group of cabinet ministers quietly putting together their bids for Justin Trudeau's job. In Ottawa, Ontario, Canadian Foreign Minister Melanie Joly, J-O-L-Y, was supposed to deliver a major policy speech this month, charting the future of Canadian democracy. Instead, she found herself traveling to the Middle East to showcase that vision. Joly landed in Israel and Jordan last week, where she sought to ensure the safe evacuations of Canadian citizens and defend the Trudeau administration against allegations that its response came too slow. This is the first significant test for a rising star in the Canadian cabinet, whose name is already being floated to replace Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Joly's actions could help determine her political future, along with that of administration seeking to overcome a series of recent foreign policy blunders. Joly told reporters, "I'm working 24 hours, 7 days a week on this. There are so many issues happening in the world, and I'm trying to address all of these." Joly was only 2 years into her role as the face of the Liberal government's diplomatic efforts, has grappled lately with allegations of international assassination and charges of foreign interference. these storylines that contributed to Trudeau's free fall, fueling talk about who might replace him. The foreign minister is considered a leadership contender, even a front runner. She's a well-connected friend, co-phone politician who hails from Montreal. Once demoted, but later thrust into the top cabinet post in 2021, she's among a small group of cabinet ministers quietly putting together their bids for Justin Trudeau's job whenever he decides to leave politics. If the polls are any indication, that time may come soon, although his backers still insist that he's the party's best choice. But Jolie has never faced a challenge like this one in an area where Canada has relatively small diplomatic footprint. She said, leaders emerge during times of grave crisis, she said. Again, Ian Lee, a Canadian politics observer. It'll be a chance for her to demonstrate the gravitas and the seriousness and understanding of the sensitivity in this horrible time. Six Canadians are among the thousands dead already on the war that began October 7th in Israel, when Hamas launched a surprise attack against Israel, and two remain missing, according to Canadian officials. And then we have, of course, we have this article regarding Australia. The country of Australia has maintained a so-called stable liberal democratic political system under its constitution. It is the world's 10th oldest since the Federation in 1901. Australia is the world's sixth oldest continuous democracy and largely operates as a two-party system in which voting is compulsory. That means you have to vote, folks. Okay. Also, we have right now here where it says that, and I was reading this just the other day, a question, is Australia more liberal than the U.S.? Now, this article came out in October of 2021, and the article said, is it more liberal than the U.S.? And somebody said in an article that they wrote about this, they said, Australia overall is more progressive than the U.S. To me, that word progressive is not a positive word, folks, okay? That usually means Marxism or communism around the corner. So the answer from Melanie was, Australia overall is more progressive than the U.S., but there's still many policies in place or not in place that are conservative by American standards. So there, that tells you the word progressive means extreme liberal, okay? The conservative said, although an overwhelming majority of Australians, both in and out of parliament, support same-sex marriage, we have not yet legalized it. It says here, refugees that arrive by boat are sent offshore to detention centers while their background is investigated. Not only is this just plain stupid, those who are desperate will continue to use people smugglers anyway. It makes far more sense to crack down on the people smugglers and find a safer legal way for the refugees to arrive here in Australia, but also a breach of human rights with the UN denouncing the centers and a court investigation currently underway. The progressive said Australia has had governmentally funded health care available since the 1980s. A governmentally funded company called HECS pays for university fees that are usually about $13,000 for a free 3-year degree, but can be $24,000 at most. A small percent of our wage after university is subtracted each paying week to recoup the HECS's debt. We have unlimited time to do this. There's been a major decrease in firearm-assisted suicide. There has been a major decrease in firearm-assisted suicide and absolutely no fatal mass shootings since the reforms of 1996, which tightened restrictions on gun ownership. So we're going to bring our friend here into the studio in a minute. Some of the related questions are, is U.S., Canada, Australia, Europe, or New Zealand more liberal? Which places in Australia are known as the hotbeds of liberalism, a la American academic centers like Berkeley, California, or Boulder, Colorado? Why is Australia much more socially liberal than U.S.? Is Australia more liberal or socialist than the USA? Is Australia more conservative than the USA? So I'd like to bring my friend, we're going to call her Pac Woman. She is in Australia down under. We've been friends for a few years now, and she's a regular listener here on RBN. Welcome to the Concord Hour, Pack Woman.
Hi, Maggie Rose. How's it going?
Hi, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing good on this very hot day.
Oh, I bet it's very hot there. What are the temperatures ranging right now?
About 100 degrees, about near 95 to around 100.
Wow. Now, I know you had a fire that came through there not long ago. How are you all recovering from that fire?
Yeah, in February, I'm still, there's still a lot of trees that have weakened and falling, so I'm still moving a lot of them. I'm still trying to sort out some of the damage, so I'm still getting on top of it. So each day is a new day, so I do what I can and try and recover. But that was an eye-opener as to how firefighters are not fighting fires like we used to do it, like, and that the police are not the police, like, you know, they're not there to serve us. So it's really, the last 6 months has really been an eye-opener as to the corruption that is really there.
Now, do you have family members that live near you that are supportive or helpful, or are they long distance?
Yeah, no, they're long distance. I used to live, shared a house and granny flat with my eldest daughter. But after my husband passed, I moved away. So I'm about 6 hours drive.
Oh, wow.
From her. So, yeah, so it is difficult. But, you know, you just keep going. Like, you do what you can. Like, you know, the creator's there with me, so I'm not alone.
Well, now, what are the gas prices? We use the gallon system here. What are the gas prices for you, let's say, per gallon, if you can convert that into whatever you convert it into in Australia?
Okay, we do litres here. When they changed over our money system from the pounds and dollars to, you know, a dollar and cents. We also change from the imperial to the metric. So we go by a litre. And a litre, I think there's about 3.8 litres to a gallon, somewhere around that. So we're paying over $2 for 1 litre. So, you know, you convert that, we're paying a lot of money for a gallon.
Yeah, right here, gas is averaging, what is it averaging, JC, about 4 something?
What?
For a gallon of gas?
It averages 4, but we're paying like 3.86.
Yeah, so we're paying about 3.86 to $4 American dollars for 1 gallon. And then in some places in California, we noticed that it was running about $5 or $6 a gallon for just regular, not for prime or ultra prime gas. And then we heard that down in Los Angeles, California, they're paying over $7.49 a gallon. So that's insane.
Yeah, that's probably about what we're paying, somewhere around that.
It's roughly about $7 a gallon, what would be version of a gallon?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think around $7, $8. Because how many pints are in a gallon? Like, you know, it's been a while since I've had to convert. How many pints to a gallon?
How many pounds a gallon here? Four pints to a gallon?
Yeah.
No.
4 pints to a quart.
4 pints to a quart. So we have 4 pints to a quart.
Yeah. Okay, and how many quarts to a gallon?
Yeah, so that would be...
Yeah.
Four quarts to a gallon.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be, yeah, because I think a litre is 2 pints.
Right.
Right. And we're paying over, you know, just over $2 for a litre, which is 2 pints. So then you convert that to a quart and then a gallon, we're paying a lot of money.
For fuel. Right here, so two pints equal 1 quart here in America. So if you got 2 pints equal 1 quart, and then that many quarts equal a gallon, yeah, so you guys are paying practically the price that they're paying in California for their gas.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of high. It makes it very difficult for you to go down and see your family on a regular basis, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because to fill my car, because I've got an old Toyota Land Cruiser. I'm paying, like, to fill it is maybe $140. So, and, you know, she's a bit rough on fuel. So, you know, it'll cost me like $300 in fuel just to, you know, go and visit family and come back.
Now, how much does, let's say, a gallon of milk, how much is a gallon of milk costing you down under?
What's a gallon? Yeah, because we're paying, you know, to get a decent milk, you know, you can pay about $3 a liter. So more expensive than the fuel is good milk.
Right.
Yeah.
So have you noticed that since the pandemic, since they created this COVID virus and put this pandemic out worldwide and seeded the world with this COVID to try to lock us down, have you noticed that your food prices and gas prices have not only doubled but tripled over even the last year?
Yeah, they have slowly gone up. They've been doing a lot of things over the last few years to, you know, try and tighten everybody's purse strings. You know, taxes have gone up, you know, businesses have closed down. So the same sort of thing that you're seeing there and probably in Canada and the UK as well, all of the Western societies, you know, we're being brought down to our knees, and it's all deliberate.
Oh, yeah, very deliberate. Now, when it comes to your school system there, for those people that can't afford to put their kids in private school, are you finding that your public schools are becoming more tyrannical, like we've been discovering here, where even parents that are saying, I don't want you teaching my second grader, I don't want you teaching my seven-year-old or my 8-year-old or my 9-year-old how to masturbate in public school. That is not your job to do that. And yet the parents then are being labeled as domestic terrorists and the FBI is being called on them. Are you finding the same sort of things happening there in Australia?
Yes, I believe they are. And I believe they've been doing this sort of stuff for, you know, about 10, 15 years, like sneaking in the sex education where they were actually, you know, bringing children in the front of the class and then getting them to act out sexual acts. But, you know, a lot of people don't believe you. And if anybody gets onto the government, they say, oh, well, that's just a progressive school, right? It's not in our normal schools. Well, you know, I believe that's a lie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if a politician is speaking, then, you know, there's lies coming out of their mouth. So,
well, you know, the average child that starts kindergarten is anywhere from 5 to 6.5 years of age, which means that basically you're going to have, you know, a child who's, you know, in third grade is roughly about 8 years old. And why are they having children in second, third, and fourth grade brought into a classroom for sex ed and giving them a banana and teaching a 7, 8, 9-year-old child how to put a condom on a banana? This to me is absolute insanity, Pac Woman.
Yeah. Well, if you have a look at I think it's the UN, they sexualizing treaty, you know, they want it from birth. And they want 3-year-olds to know how to masturbate. That's the UN treaty that most of the countries have, you know, just about signed up to. So one of our politicians actually spoke about this about 2 months ago in Parliament. And you could see him shaking, like he was so angry that this is what they're doing and that Australia is signing up on. And the trouble is, with this so-called scandemic, you know, our normal politicians have the everyday members have not been included in the decisions that the emergency parliament have been doing. So there's a lot of sneakiness. And this one world government, my father fought in the Second World War, right? And when he came home, he got a dishonorable discharge. And I'm very proud of him for that, right? Normally you wouldn't be proud of somebody for getting a dishonorable discharge from the army. But he spoke out about the unnecessary for that war and the young men dying, right? But he also came home and said, whatever you do, don't ever vote for a republic because it's a trick to bring in the one world government. So that's from World War II that my father knew about. So, you know, I've got that rebellious streak in me, which I, you know, now realize as I've got older that he's, you know, that, you know, we have to have our eyes open regardless of where we are and what we're doing. So if he knew about it back then, you can really see all the steps that they have done to, you know, divide people, to, you know, the racism, the land grabs, the, you know, black against white, you know, all of, you know, defund the government, the police, and all of these mechanisms, you know, religion and absolutely everything that they've done to divide us so that they can conquer us. And
so
that's
where
they are.
So you're saying they're also in Australia trying to defund the police there as well?
Well, not so much, but they have talked about, we've had an Antifa rallies in Melbourne and in Sydney. So, you know, in Black Lives Matters. And, you know, so we've had those groups, and they're, you know, all funded by the same people as they are in America.
Right.
You know, to bring division between the blacks and the whites. So you've got white people marching for Black Lives Matter, and they don't even know what they're marching for. They're just, you know, going along with it because they think that, you know, that there's no equality here. You know, it's like saying that there's no equality in America, and yet you have governors who are black. You've had a president who was black. So you can't say that there's, you know, that there's no equality when clearly there is. But the children in schools are so programmed now that they just believe that if you're white, you're a white supremacist. You know, if you speak out about your government like I do, then you're a domestic terrorist. And I know personally that I am on a police watch list. Right?
Right.
And it's insane because I've done nothing unlawful. I've done nothing unconstitutional. So every step that I do follows my constitution, right?
Right.
Because we have the right to get on our soapbox and speak about what we feel that we need to speak about. And it's our duty to speak about a government and its corruption, right? So, yeah. So we've had three referendums here, right, to go republic. And each time the people have said no. So when we say no to a referendum, they only get three chances to bring it in. So we discovered the other day that they have a minister for the referendum. So they're still trying to bring it in.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to go to station break, folks. We'll be right back with Pac-Woman on the other side. Stay there, Pac-Woman.
Seems I found the road to nowhere, and I'm trying to escape. I am back when I heard thunder, but I'm down to one last breath. And will it let me say?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net, for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
They ask me how I knew my true love was true.
You had to do that to me, Mike, our board engineer there. He has no idea the significance of that song for me. You know, folks, my dad was born in 1929 in Oakland, California, and he was pretty much raised off and on both with his parents. When they divorced, he and his brother ended up going to an orphanage for a period of time and then to foster homes. And he used to tell me, and we lost him in 2020 because of the COVID shutdown. He was so depressed, and his doctor was on vacation for a little while, and the VA hospital over-medicated him with Lasix, and they ended up killing him by over-medicating him with the Lasix that closed down his body organs. But I remember before he passed away telling me as I was growing up that that particular song, that he remembers hearing that a lot when he was younger, and It was a song that had a lot of significance for him. You know how sometimes you will smell something that kind of moves you, or you'll hear something, or a little memory will all of a sudden pop up when you hear a certain sound or a certain song. And that was one of the songs that he played a lot when I was a little girl. And he used to tell me the story behind that song and the first time he ever heard it. So kind of an emotional moment there for me. Thank you for that, Mike. You had no idea. Anyway, we've been listening to Pac Woman Down Under. I know right now we have Omega Logos that's also listening to us. He's also in Australia and is very good friends with many of us here, a regular RBN radio listener as well. You were saying something, Pac Woman, about how the referendum did not pass, and I'm very confused. Maybe you can help educate me and educate the rest of the listeners. When we keep hearing here in America about democracy, and the Democrats say, oh yeah, we're the Democrats and we want a real democracy. Well, we've discovered over time that a pure democracy does not ever work. It always is bound to fail. Many times democracy has been turned into something where it's mobocracy, which means that you might have 150 people that are nefarious and up to no good, and they're going to push their will around where the other 80 people maybe are going to be undermined and overruled. And what becomes what you call as a democracy is actually becomes a mobocracy. And so when we talk about a republic, how Australia does not want a republic, it is a republic where people are allowed to have freedom of thought, freedom of speech. They're allowed to be individuals. They're allowed to self-determination. The bigger the government gets, as you know, the more tyranny grows. And this has been something we've been watching all over the world for hundreds and hundreds of years, that the more the government grows, the more tyranny grows. So why would you not want a republic like the one that George Washington and Benjamin Franklin tried to give us, a republic? And a lady asked Benjamin Franklin, what kind of government do we have? And he says, a republic if you can keep it. Well, obviously here in America, the United States of America, we're losing our republic. We're losing the ability to be able to make decisions for ourselves. They're telling us, you can't use a gas stove, you have to go electric. You can't have gas-powered cars, you have to have electric. And in some states, they're saying they're not going to allow any more gas stations to be built. They want to push us towards all electricity, because then with this flip of the switch, they can turn off our electricity anytime they want. I don't like that kind of tyranny of being told that we're going to push you into electricity and everything has to be electricity. And then if we don't like your politics or we don't like something you said in public, we can just turn off your electricity for a few hours. So why would you not want a republic, Pac Woman?
Okay. For the simple reason that it's not that I don't want a republic, right? If we had the same republic that you have there, even though, you know, if you listen to the politicians, they say that you're a democratic country. Well, you're not a democratic country, because any word that has demon in it is demonic, not democratic, right? So, right. But they want to push for a republic, and a referendum is for the people to answer a question about changing our constitution and where that will go in our constitution. They want us to change the Constitution or agree to them changing the Constitution, because they want to actually abolish our Constitution and bring in the one world government. So it's a scam, like the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's a scam to believe the people will have the system that you have there. But it's not for that purpose at all. It's to actually remove our constitution and our rights and to bring in the one world government, so that we will be a complete communist, masters, socialist state with no sovereignty.
Go ahead.
We also had a referendum last week to what they called the voice for parliament for the natives here, right? because they tried making out that they don't have a voice in Parliament, even though we have 14, I think, politicians who are of Aboriginal descent. So it's all one big con to get these communists. The push was from the communist blacks, and that's what they are, because they've been led and programmed over the last 50 years to think this way, about the race, and you know, they need us to be paying rent and reparations and all of that, you know, BS, you know. But we've had, they have a voice, right? But the government was not going to tell us exactly how the Constitution was going to be changed. They would just worry about that later. So the people and the Aboriginal people, the true Aboriginal people, you know, loudly said no to it. And every state said no to it. So even though, so that's federal. So even though all the federally it didn't pass as a referendum, the states are now saying that they want to implement it anyway in the states. So it's like what I was saying before the break, that they want to sneak in this republic, which will be the one world government. This voice was to, again, change our constitution, remove our constitution, and bring in the one world government, because most of our leaders work for the World Economic Forum or the UN. So they're all their little puppets.
That makes sense. What would you say about your Australian, I don't know how well you know the U.S. Constitution, it's a sad commentary that enough Americans really don't know or understand their Constitution. They had maybe a little bit of it in middle school, like a very touch gloss over it. They had maybe a little bit more in their government class in high school, which is a requirement to graduate high school. Even those that went on to college, most of them never, of course, studied much history or the Constitution. But what you do believe you know about our Constitution, where would you say that your Constitution outshines our Constitution or is better than the one we have, especially since you've been under more or less British rule, under a monarchy, under the Queen of England, now the King of England, running Australia and having such a big influence. So where is your constitution better than ours?
Well, our constitution, all of our constitutions are all based on common law, right? You know, our alienate rights. So in that aspect, you know, our constitutions are the same. You separately have a Bill of Rights that went with yours. So that helps you to push forward against your government when they try to take your guns or try to take your free speech or whatever. So you do have the courts that, you know, are still backing you in regards to those to a certain degree. Whereas in Australia, most of our politicians don't even know their constitution. It's not taught. Our government is not our Commonwealth government of Australia. We are the Australian government, which is a corporate government, which happened in 1973, I think it was, when, forgotten his name, the Prime Minister at the time, who actually took us out of the true constitution and turned us into a corporate governance system, right? And our two-party system is also unlawful and unconstitutional, because we're not supposed to have political parties according to our constitution, right? Because they can be corrupted,
right?
Because you can only vote for one person, and if you're voting for a party, you're no longer voting for one person, right? So, but our constitution, and most people don't know it, because, and same with yours, it's backed by the Magna Carta. So those rights, even though we don't have an actual Bill of Rights like you do separately, both our constitutions are backed by the Magna Carta. under the common law. So, and that protects us. But 99.9% of Australians don't even know their own constitution or even know anything about our Bill of Rights that actually comes all the way back from England.
Well, we have a gal whose name is Chris Ann Hall. She was in the Army like I was, and she met her husband. They both met in Monterey, California, at the Naval Post Language Institute, where they were learning Russian. When they both got out of the military, she went ahead and went to law school and became a lawyer, and he went to theology school and became a minister. And they adopted a nice, handsome little boy. And she spent quite a bit of time running around the country trying to teach the Constitution and showing the history of it going all the way back to the Magna Carta and showing what happened and the different evolutions that took place. I understand now that she's become so quote-unquote famous with her books and her podcast and everything. She's charging really astronomical prices now in order to be seen or heard or go to these lectures. So she's not able to reach out and educate as many people as she was doing before. But from what I'm understanding, that many of the people here in the United States of America have been noticing that the so-called progressives, which I call the communists, the Marxists, that they are trying really hard to find ways to try to destroy our Constitution, to try to get rid of our Constitution. And one of the things that I did notice through my education, of my own self-education, was that right after the Civil War we had here, after 1865, that roughly around 1871, all these other countries like England, the King in England, the Vatican, and other monarchs around Europe decided we have to find some way to take America down to its knees to take control. They were pushing for a new world order way before 1871. But in 1871, they also brought these big corporations in. And it's the big corporations that have been controlling almost every aspect of our life. So I heard you mention the word corporations in Australia. So you're noticing the big corporations are pretty much controlling what's going on in Australia too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we've had, you know, Bill Gates over here. You know, we have these people that come over here and talk to our politicians. And, you know, and the same push. Now, just with the COVID, people here are still being pushed to go and get their jabs, you know, and so, yeah, so the corporations control our governments like they do over there. You have a couple who are speaking out, but the trouble is when you talk about, you know, the real serious stuff like adrenochrome and child trafficking and, you know, a lot of the really serious stuff that is going on in your country, my country, and every country around the world, and organ harvesting and all the, you know, satanic stuff that's happening, you know, they will shut you down very quickly because they don't want, they will then, even these politicians who are speaking up about the COVID and a lot of the other stuff, you know, when it comes to the real serious stuff, they really don't want to know about it, and they will call you a conspiracy theorist, which is, you know, ironic because they're being called that when they're speaking up against, you know, Pfizer and what's going on with the COVID. So it is very difficult to find anybody who speaks the truth. The only one who is speaking the truth, he's not a politician as such. He has formed his a political party after seeing the corruption in trying to get in as his own person, is Ricardo Bossi. And he is somebody who, from the beginning, he's learning like the rest of us just how much corruption is there. But once you see it, you can't turn your back on it. And he's the only one who is speaking out about all of it. And they've tried shutting him down.
What is happening right now with your, what we would call gun rights, Second Amendment rights? We know that they did a major gun confiscation of your guns way back when. I don't know if that was in 1997 or between then and 2015, but I know that I was told by some of the people that I knew in Australia that crime went up 300% in the middle of the day. Like at 12 noon, crime was already 300% higher than it had ever been before they started taking people's guns from them.
Exactly, yeah. And a lot of people don't know, probably even a lot of Americans don't know. Is it Switzerland or Sweden? One of those that, you know, everybody carries a gun. And the government actually will fine you if they do a gun inspection and your gun is not clean. So, and the crime rate is like almost zero there. So, you know, and it's, you know, people need to realize that just because people carry a gun doesn't mean that they're going to go out and kill somebody. A gun is there to protect you. The gun is there is to protect your family. The gun is also there to feed you if you, you know, out bush and you want to shoot a deer or whatever you need to for food for your family. But it's also there to protect you from a tyrannical government. And that's what they're trying to do. And that's why they've been able to get away with what they're getting away with in Australia. And that's why they're trying to get away with what they're getting away with in America.
Now, do you believe that in Australia, some of the people that have been shot to death, some of these people that you know for a fact that you and I were discussing one time, who were actually protesting against some of the tyrannical measures by the Australian government, that these people were basically murdered by your law enforcement, weren't they?
Yes. Yes. Totally, 100%.
And so, of course, that just makes people afraid then to step forward and speak out. In fact, people, even their family members, are afraid to speak forward and say, my loved one was murdered. They were deliberately taken out because they were trying to have freedom of speech to warn the rest of us what was coming.
Yes. Yes. And the sad thing about it is that they call us now domestic terrorists, and they tried making out after, you know, they shot three people in the state that I am in, and virtually only 2 hours away from where I am, where they did this raid on this family and shot these three people. And they said that it's the only Christian now they're labeling it as a domestic terrorist. You know, so, you know, the first one ever in Australia, there's now a Christian domestic terrorist attack.
Oh, wow.
On police. So, yeah, so, you know, anyone who is a Christian or a believer, anyone who speaks out, anyone who speaks up is now on this watch list. And that's me. So... And millions of other Australians, you know, the amount of people now who are standing up, you know, especially after the referendum, and they've started to see what actually is happening. There's a lot more people that are starting to wake up and be aware now. So, you know, little by little, you know, the more they push, the more they'll push another person to wake up.
Exactly.
So we just need a few people.
Well, you know what? How are you people hearing about what is going on over in Israel right now? We already know that China has been threatening that if we get involved with them taking over Taiwan the way they took over Hong Kong, that if we in any way at all try to stand to try to protect Taiwan, they're talking about not only taking out Japan, taking out Guam and Hawaii, they're also talking about taking out Australia. So what are the Australians feeling now about what's happening over in Israel? I'm sure some of their people are over there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have some people over there. And we've actually got Avi from Rebel News who's over in Israel reporting. But the trouble is, you know, bit of news that came out was about these babies being beheaded in their cribs. Well, they had to take that back because it didn't happen. And if I remember correctly, they tried doing that about Russia in Ukraine to try and start the war there. So there's a lot of stuff that, you know, gets thrown out there. And once somebody hears about it, it's very hard for them to then unhear it. So it gets somebody worked up about people instead of thinking clearly. They just want to go into war.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on to the show. Thank you so much for being here. And let's bring you back another time. Folks, this is Pac Woman in Australia Down Under. Thank you so much, Pac Woman, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Maggie. Enjoyed it.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
To their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. Gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon her glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. Warp it up with lions politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.